This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The U.S. and Japan talk trade. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. Senior American and Japanese officials are meeting in Washington today and tomorrow to talk trade, with a big focus on agriculture. American farmers face steep tariffs in the Japanese market, but as Marketplace's Justin Ho reports, both sides are motivated to get a deal done.
It's hard for American farmers to compete in Japan because their rivals from countries in the new Trans-Pacific Partnership enjoy lower trade barriers, and the U.S. decided not to join the trade bloc.
We have to run just to stand still at this moment in agriculture.
Rachel Brewster teaches international trade law at Duke. She says a U.S.-Japan deal would make American exports cheaper to buy, but any agreement could take a while working its way through Japan's parliament. Brewster says that's pushing the Trump administration to make a deal very soon, ideally before the 2020 elections here.
So if you want to give farmers a win, then you need to conclude this deal quickly.
Japan is motivated, too. It's hurting from a trade dispute with South Korea. And as far as the U.S. goes, says C. Fred Bergsten at the Peterson Institute,
the big issue for Japan is to head off auto tariffs,
which President Trump has threatened to impose unless Japan reduces its trade surplus with the U.S. Avoiding that would let Japan focus its energies on some trade concerns closer to home. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
The Trump administration says the U.S. economy is doing fine. Just fine. And yet, yesterday, President Trump told reporters he's considering more tax cuts to spur the economy. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me live here in Washington. And Nancy, what types of tax cuts is the president considering?
Well, he confirmed that he's thinking about a payroll tax cut. The idea behind that is workers would spend the extra money in their paychecks, stimulating the economy. The president is also talking about lowering the capital gains tax, and that's the tax you pay on profits from investments, by adjusting it for inflation. So right now, if you bought $1,000 worth of stock and that stock is now worth $10,000, you'd pay capital gains taxes on $9,000, even though some of that increase came from inflation.
So give us more detail about what lowering the capital gains tax might do.
Well, the Trump administration says it would encourage investment and that would help the economy. But analysts at the Tax Policy Center found it mainly encourages tax sheltering by the wealthy. They looked at economic growth from 1954 to 2017, and they say the tax rate on capital gains does not appear to be a major economic stimulus.
So, Nancy, why is the Trump administration considering these additional tax cuts now?
Well, they're seeing some warning signs that could be pointing to an economic slowdown or even a recession. The economy is still growing, but only at about 2% a year. Consumer confidence is down, and President Trump's trade wars are affecting the global economy.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thanks. Let's do the numbers. Asian markets closed mixed with the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 38 points, about 0.1%. Japan's Nikkei was down almost 0.3%, about 58 points. The FTSE in London is up about 1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.6% to 0.8% range, with the Dow future up 170 points. The yield on the 10-year Treasury is up at 1.590%.
We With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's another consequence of climate change. The rapid melting of Arctic ice caps is increasing tension among nations that border the area around the North Pole. Russia, Canada, China, and the U.S. are all competing for both the resources under the ice as well as what becomes accessible when the ice melts. Neil Shea is an author and contributor to National Geographic. His article on the Arctic Cold War is in the latest issue and online. Neil, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So why are nations competing for access and resources in the Arctic now?
The large cover of sea ice that usually covers the ocean for much of the year is shrinking. And so there's a lot more territory that's opening up now to resource exploration and navigation and military activity. And probably within the next 50 years or so, people will be able to do a lot more digging and drilling and collecting.
And what kind of resources are we talking about?
All sorts of stuff. There's gold, oil, other rare minerals, fish, natural gas. You name it, you can probably find it in the Arctic somewhere.
And it's not just the resources that are there, but sort of the pathways that are opening up as a result of climate change.
That's right. There are two major shipping routes that people think about when they think about the Arctic, and it's the Northwest Passage, sort of on the Canadian side of the Arctic. And then there's something called the Northern Sea Route, which connects Asia and Europe. And the Northern Sea Route is probably the one that's going to be more useful.
Are there security issues at play as well?
I think there are some security issues. And one of those will be, who's going to control those shipping routes? Nobody really expects there to be a shooting war. As one Canadian general put it to me, anybody who decides to launch a military operation over the North Pole, it'd quickly turn into like the largest search and rescue operation ever. But some people are worried that a fight might begin somewhere else and then extend into the North.
You lay out how all of these different countries and businesses are starting to look towards their interests in the North, but there are people who have been living and working there for generations. The Inuit have had their lives and livelihoods there for some time. How are those groups being affected by all of these changes?
At this point, I would say that they're mostly being left behind in a lot of ways. They've been told to anticipate more cruise ships, more tourists, more oil and gas activity. But so far, a lot of that stuff has bypassed them. They're the people who have always lived there, and they're the ones who probably should be getting a great share of all of this wealth. But that hasn't really been the case so far yet.
Neil Shea is an author and contributor to National Geographic. His article on the Arctic Cold War appears in the September issue of National Geographic online now and on newsstands August 27th. Neil, thank you.
It's my pleasure.
And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.